sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Way to go, Stan. Nice.
All right. Down goes the HMS Beagle and its cargo of Charles Darwin and the theory of evolution. Well, we'll see as we take a look today. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski. I'd like to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take a very lighthearted look at the serious issues of creation, evolution, where we came from, with, I suppose, a little bit of a nod toward trying to figure out where we're going to go.
That's a good idea. Well, actually, today, Stan, though, we want to talk a lot about where we came from.
Where we came from. Well, I came from Los Angeles.
That explains a lot. You've seen Los Angeles lately? It's improved. No, it hasn't improved since you left. When you left, the town's gone downhill.
I got out while I could.
Yes, there you go. And I come from northern Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
At least that's my origin.
Origin.
Little town.
The origin
home
of
the
Hodag.
Home of a big green dinosaur-looking lizard. The Hodag is, if you ever go online and do a Hodag search, H-O-D-A-G, it kind of looks like either an apocalyptic beast out of Revelation.
I was going to say, does your picture pop up or what?
No. Or the Hodag looks like a dinosaur. It almost looks like a cross between Triceratops, alligator, and T-Rex sort of deal.
Oh my goodness, there's a nightmare.
It was a school mascot.
We are indeed talking today on Sink the Beagle on the origins of life, and you know, we are in the studio today on the day after the 200th anniversary of of Charles Darwin's origin, his birthday, and also 150th anniversary of Origin of Species. And in that book, you know, John.
And the day before Valentine's Day.
Well,
we better be nice to your wife.
Yes, that's right. But 150 years from the Origin of Species, and in that book, Charles Darwin doesn't really spend much time talking about the origin of life, more or less the origin of the species that evolved
Speciations,
from life.
Yes. He doesn't say where the first stuff comes
from
very much.
No, not really. And to be honest with you, it's in 200 years or 150 years since then, there's not really been a whole lot of progress in the area of figuring
origin
out where life
theory.
Yeah, you know, really, it's almost back to square one. But today we're going to talk about the various common hypotheses for the origin of life.
Yeah.
Different possibilities.
If you don't
believe the biblical account, let's toss the Bible aside and let's take a look at what science says.
And we have today we're going to start looking at six possible hypotheses, and we'll get through all of them this first show. Maybe we'll have another show on them. But
hypothesis number one!
And they go from, by the way, we're going to go from very simple hypotheses to more complex ones.
I think it kind of
goes that way.
Okay.
All right. The first one, though, Stan, is random chance.
Random chance. How lucky do you feel?
And this is basically built on the idea of warm pools.
Warm
plus
pools.
Plus time or chance equals life.
Pond
scum. So if you have on the blackboard here, we type in the word warm pools,
warm
pond
pools,
scum,
okay.
plus time okay. or chance.
Okay.
Because time and chance are
got
sort of...
lots of time, lots of pools, lots of TikToks on the clock.
Equals life.
Yeah, okay.
Non-organic becomes organic. And they thought the Earth is about 4.5 billion years old. That's a standard dating of the Earth. And there was a long cooling period because it was a pretty hot place.
And post-Big Bang.
The first microorganisms are probably only about 500 million years old.
500, yeah.
Microorganisms.
About 4 to 500 million years
old.
Well, yeah, but the problem with that is fossil records actually a little bit older than that, technically, about 550.
Give or take 50 million.
I mean,
when you're talking millions, you know, it's like the government. When you're talking billions and billions, trillions of dollars,
soon you're
pretty
talking
soon
about real.
Your brain's just kind of mushy. Yeah. Give or take 50 billion, you could argue from a conservative point of view and get 450 million.
Something like that. But, you know, it's kind of interesting that, that science still has, and as we've talked about on previous Sink the Beagles, one of the consistent, shall we say, sand traps that science tends to hit into is, frankly, an oversimplifying of the issue. In other words, misunderstanding or not getting quite the complexity of things that we look at. If science tends to think of life as simple, Big Bang evolution should be simple. These are simple things.
They see bubbles on the beach and imagine cell walls.
Cell walls.
Please. Any biologist with a grain of salt for their degree knows that cell walls themselves are such complex structures.
Hugely complex.
Very complex.
And again, there should be more to it than just kind of looking similar, you know, round and soft and something. Take a look at our science project for Mars, our space project in Mars. We're trying to find water there. Why? Because the idea is add water and you've got life.
Not quite that simple.
Try to get yourself a nice warm pool somewhere and let the clock roll, and pretty soon things will be bubbling out of there and walking around and howdy.
I'm your new pet.
Take me to your leader.
And really, they're long odds, you know, because you have to think about this. All the known carbon in the universe, you know, plus a billion years of random interacting with other chemicals.
Okay.
Are needed just to produce one protein molecule. The odds against that. We're talking about long odds.
You're going to have to repeat this.
Okay, the odds of producing a protein molecule.
Yes.
You know, taking all the known
protein
carbon
in the
universe,
the carbon,
randomly interacting with other chemicals.
Okay,
you know, so
mixing
get this
it
chemical
up.
Soup. We're making a chemical soup. Is 1 to 10 with how many zeros? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Okay, while John is talking, I'm saying it's a very large number.
66 zeros.
66 zeros. One out of that many, 10 to the 66 zero opportunity. Okay.
Yeah.
So in other words, it's rare, it's odd, it's not
like impossible.
Okay. Nothing's impossible, John. Even if the odds are terribly, terribly against it, as we know, science rejects consistently presented efforts of just crunching the numbers. It seems like, seriously, every time this is presented as an argument against popular science, what are the chances? What are the odds? They say, but we're here, so it happened. So there.
Excuse me. If I want to sell them a bridge. Actually, I want to sell them a house. But that's another story.
That's another story. Maybe next time on Sing the Beagle.
There we go.
But anyway. Yeah, so long odds. In fact, is the random chance thing is very difficult to account. There's been a number of people, including Anthony Flew is
a former atheist who becomes a Christian.
On this very issue, well, he's a believer in God. He's not quite ready to take that step into Christianity, but he believes that there is an originator of life, because this very issue where life came from, it just can't seem to be explained by known science.
Known science, any field of science, any combination of scientific fields, it fails.
Okay, so random chance.
Okay,
warm pools, pond scum.
Erase that one off the board.
And incidentally, one of the things that works against this is the issue of time. There's not enough time.
Yeah.
Not enough time.
So the next thing they think of, another theory, is what they call chemical affinity.
Number two.
In other words, there's biological predestination through chemical bonding tendencies. You know, certain
that
chemicals.
That sort of sounds like Valentine's Day stuff.
Yeah, later
bonding
study, you know,
tendencies.
In other words, they want to, certain chemicals are attracted to other chemicals.
Okay.
Or may bond together under certain circumstances. Inform new things.
Yeah, well, beyond just simply, obviously, we know everybody who's gone to chemistry classes know that some things connect better to others. There's a certain, you know, ability to kind of,
Tinker toys, little places
to poke the thing. You know, so they kind of hold together. But beyond that obvious ability to make chemical bonding happen, there really isn't an overall theory that explains, well, then how and in order and in the circumstances and everything. And so the theory is really kind of
empty.
Empty. It's sort
vacuous.
Of empty and vacuous.
Vacuous.
Okay.
So number three.
Okay, number three.
Number three is that there are self-ordering tendencies.
Self-ordering. Well, now, I like that. I wish we had more self-ordering in the world.
My son's room could use some more self-ordering tendencies.
I think you and I probably could use some more self-ordering.
Our wife thinks so anyway.
Yeah,
my garage has lots of self-ordering. In other words, I'm not going to order it. It's going to do it itself. It's never going to get ordered.
You know what self-ordering tendency works against, John, is something we talked about recently on Sink the Beagle, is entropy.
Entropy.
Which is
It's fighting. It's like rolling in the big rock up the hill.
Yeah.
The rock wants to roll down the hill.
It sure does. And things want to go from warm to cold and everything else. It's sort of a self-disordering tendency that we see. So when self-ordering tendencies is viewed as an option, you're really swimming upstream, aren't you?
Yeah, we should explain a little bit. Energy passing through certain substances can cause molecules to rearrange themselves.
Okay.
We do know that. Like lightning hits something, it will cause some molecules to rearrange.
Yeah.
But this works for icicles. and stuff like that, maybe for making glass from sand, but it doesn't work for complex proteins.
Ah, the stuff that life is made of. We're
talking
about where
complex
life
still
comes
doesn't
from.
Work. It's nullified. Yeah. The fossil record does not agree with any kind of this series.
Simple to complex.
Simple to complex. The record has high complexity at its deepest levels.
At its deepest levels, it's true. The very, you know, we talked about the trouble of Cambrian fossils. The trilobites especially are very complex at the very bottom of the fossil record. It's difficult to assume that just a little bit lower than that, suddenly life went boop, you know.
Yeah, and then just real quick.
Hey, let's come on. Hey, we got to get going here. Let's make legs and get arms.
I have one of those trilobites that are complex, Stan.
Oh, you do?
I have one of these ones. It's a water cockroach is a trilobite, basically.
Okay.
It looks like a water cockroach.
Bug.
But mine has a complex eye.
That's
a nice enough fossil. Mm-hmm. You can see that it has one of these like bumblebee eyes.
Okay.
Where you have multiple cells.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen real quick and easy and fast, one would think. It would all of a sudden.
Self-order
itself.
Yeah.
Not only to become into life, but all of a sudden to come into complexity, and that's in the lowest layer. That's a Cambrian layer.
Well, you know, self-ordering tendencies, even though it's sort of a part of what evolution is supposed to be, if you think about it, really, that's what we're talking about for everything. Self-ordering, if you take a god out of ordering things, and it's got to be self-ordering since there is order.
You know, we have a torpedo tech stand
we do?
That I think that relates to our idea of origin of life. And we covered half of our theories. We'll cover some more, maybe in another Beagle. But
all right,
let's go to our torpedo text as we our program.
Yeah,
down.
Where does life come from? Well, the Bible does have a view on where life comes from. And it has a lot to do with the man Jesus. Here it is. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was a light of men.
Wow.
In him
is life.
Jesus
life,
even said that at a funeral once, didn't he? He says,
I am
the
resurrection
and
the life. And so the reality is, Stan, that if we want to know where life comes from, the Bible says it comes from a life giver who he himself is life, possesses life in himself, and then gives life, creates and makes life. And I guess the best way to find out where life comes from is to come to him.
That's right. You know, it's funny, but science still has a very difficult time even defining what life is.
Ooh.
You know, what it is. Is it chemical? What, you know, what is it? It's self-animated, you know. It's a kind of thing, though, as if you think about
what
the Supreme Court.
It.
Yeah, exactly. The Supreme Court has said we know what pornography is when we see it, even though it's hard to describe. We know life when we see it. And, you know, if you go to a funeral and you see some dear departed person laying there and you look at them and you realize, you know, there's something very, very special about life that animates and fills and moves and everything. What is this power that comes from God? Hard to explain scientifically.
We spend a lot of money trying to hang on to it desperately.
Boy,
though,
don't we.
And the reality is, if we have an evolutionary point of view, why bother? I mean, I have a friend who's dying, a neighbor, and he is starting chemotherapy as a Monday. This is a Friday. He'll be starting on Monday some chemical therapies. And he says, you know, if they make me feel really sick, I'm not going to bother because it only gives me 3 more months of life anyway.
Wow.
He's got some pretty bad cancer. And he says, if that's the only all I get, I'm just going to say, you know, there's nothing more to live for on this earth anyway. And thank God he knows Jesus, or he's a Christian anyway, and I believe that he'll be in heaven. But, you know, the good news is that's the good news.
Yes.
He's kind of the source of life.
That's right, the source of life. And we can know that source of life. So keep tuning in and enjoying our next
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from 7 standard castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.